Papa là một cái là thì cũng là một cái mấy cái một cái là cái mấy cái 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 cái là Now, we feel that General Brown is very hard that this government protection during the war has really kept things on the even keel. I worry about this. With the need of the cutbacks, everyone takes a chance of life for the neighborhood. I'm talking about in terms of neighborhood, because we are the big economic block. This is a workers' problem. It's the problem between the plants. Well, then you doubtless know about the rest of the Negroes are last in the ships and in the aircraft, non-force metals and ammunition, and the very places where they've made enormous gains, about 1,300,000 Negroes now in more industries. They will be cut back. I'm coming to the project that is reading for the clients. Our executive order is not going to be able to
help. No, but I have another question.
Right.
Executive order won't work anymore.
Right. And we see that not after the DJ, but we see it coming for us soon. There's, we've been following the ships and we're very close to the world, that's what we will have now. And we know that there are tension areas. If we've been getting the same sort of fear jobs that happened in 1919, that the results will be very bad when we go around. All of the calculated plans and run away as a miserable number of presidents are killed. And to keep that forward movement, to keep them feeling and aggression and sustain their attention, I think we need legislation soon. I've talked to less than 50 guys, and everyone's fear about it. And we cloud will be seen when what legislation's come out. But he thought everyone, as advised me, when he said that I said to you, he feared that all the photographs could be broken. There's not a lot of people, but there is many people fighting. I don't think there is. So this morning, 750 people that are meeting for a photograph. The rules came in the House. If you could, in some sort of state office, if you were prepared to say that you are for the principles of the legislation before the Congress,
I said it's my honor. And I don't know what I'm going to do. Sorry, that's not.
He's presented it to you now. Now, I must tell you about some pressing problems that we've been sitting on for a long while. One of them is the veteran case of what Southern Railroads and veterans. You probably have to.
I want to tell you about that. I'm
talking to you about. We have a chairman in senior house chairman, the former home chairman, held a former chairman and came out with a decision that he. Contact between the brothers and the southern carriers was discriminatory on its face. It meant that the national Negro crime had certain percentages. Negro crime was traditionally, as you know, the majority were Negroes. And it was not an attempt to displace whites, it was a plot to reduce the amount of Negro crime, reduce the amount of Negro crime, reduce the amount of Negro crime, reduce the amount of Industrial plant, they started the speeches about 4 to 4, rolling out its own
find out, and then he will be. I brought the sheriff.
I didn't hear you say that. I brought about a million people, various agencies in the other day, to talk about what the Secretary of Industry was trying to do by way of confession. I'm a disappointing tenant of the bigger now is the time. Getting the industry to bring some more manufacturing income into the market. It has always happened this way. We've been far from the past with the Negro, far from the South, as Jay has for the years. They're losing people with initiative, possible skills, but we're going to do it. We're going to have an industrial economy. Well, I hope we get with that. Would it seem a bother to you sometimes to have my committee in over five years? You see, it's not usual. I'm the only guy who's lazy currently. If they're terrible years, they don't use very long. I think that's another part of the problem. Would you consider, I'll be harassed by the voice of the press out there, is there anything you would
just say to me that you and I discussed this problem for many minutes, and I have a serious consideration, and I'm not going to do the facts of most of the instances in which you refer.
You wouldn't think about it, Senator? Could I, with any private president, have you talked to somebody? appointment to the chairman of the Committee on Railroad Refinement Legislation, for which we said that we didn't think that the thing should go through and should be reviewed with a whole social security. Well, the President also set up a little something on the 22nd of January, which 23rd of January, which is that hardly in favor of the objective of 2019. I hope that Congress will see fit to act favorably on these objectives. And all the way from the beginning of the
game, and if you believe me,
and they said that you were favorable to them.
Good idea, you're coming out of that corner. You can hear that confounded bump.
Right under my window.
Oh, well, I have to get out there once in a while.
Mr. Biddle's resignation has been accepted, and Tom Clark of Texas will be appointed in his place as Attorney General.
C-L-A-R-K, no E on it.
Tom C. Clark, no E. I'll read you the first paragraph of the letter I wrote to Mr. Biddle. It says, in accepting your resignation, I desire to express my appreciation of the patriotic services which you have rendered to your country during the war and during the days when you were preparing for the war. And in the last paragraph, I hope you will have continued happiness and success in your future work, and I trust that I may have the privilege of consulting you in the future when occasion arises. I'm accepting the resignation of Ms. Perkins, Secretary of Labor, and I'm appointing
Judge Louis B. Swellenbach.
And I'm appointing Judge Louis B. Swellenbach of Washington to be Secretary of Labor.
Miss Perkins wrote me a very fine letter, and I wrote her a good one. You received copies of it.
Mr. Wickard's resignation is being accepted, and he's being appointed REA Administrator.
And Congressman Clinton
P. Anderson of New Mexico is being appointed Secretary of Agriculture.
Clinton D. Anderson.
Clinton D. Anderson. Clinton D. Anderson. He's Congressman from New Mexico. He's been chairman of the War Food Committee in the House of Representatives.
These effective immediately on
no,
June
they,
30th.
They last of the fiscal year.
June 30th.
These are all effective June 30th, except Mr. Wickens. June 30th, except Mr. Wickens. This takes effect as soon as he is confirmed as REA Administrator. I have the resignation of Marvin Jones as War Food Administrator, and I'd like to read you the last two paragraphs of Mr. Jones' letter and comment on it. While the war was being fought on both fronts, there was considerable logic in having an independent War Food Administration. It has worked well. And having an independent War Food Administration, an outstanding record of 12. In each War Food Administration, standing record of agriculture and myself. Now, however, that victory in Europe has been achieved, I feel that the work of the department and the War Food could well be carried on by the Secretary of Agriculture, probably with somewhat less expenditure of funds. Now, Judge Jones is going back to the claims court on June 30th, and when he goes back and relinquishes the office of War Food Administrator, I expect to make the Secretary of Agriculture War Food Administrator. I expect to make the Secretary of Agriculture War Food Administrator. No, it didn't. I had it in mind before that. I read his report, but his report helped.
Mr. President, did Mr. Morgan offer his resignation this morning?
No, he did not, and if he had, I wouldn't accept it.
What was the reply, Mr. President?
He did not offer his resignation, and if he had, I wouldn't accept it.
Sir, do you contemplate any change in the Secretary?
I do not.
Were any of the resignations requested by you?
They were not. I have the resignations of every member of the government who can resign since I've been president. I can accept them or not as I choose.
Mr. President, would you clarify, please, the present and future status of Russia under Lend-Lease now that the war in Europe is over?
Well, I don't care to discuss that. I think I covered it very thoroughly in the statement that was issued.
There's nothing wrong with one question, sir, and that is whether or not Russia is getting any Lend-Lease now.
Russia is getting the Lend-Lease that she was contracted to receive during the month of May.
How about, sir, when the protocol expires
at the
end of June?
Well, let's wait and see what's necessary to be done at that time, and then we'll take care of it in a way which we think will be all right for the peace of the world.
Mr. President, when
the
cancellation of orders
began on
Lend-Lease to Russia,
the cancellation of Lend-Lease began as soon as the war ceased. It was not a cancellation, it was a readjustment to the new conditions as they came about as due to the collapse of Germany. The whole thing has to be gone into completely and thoroughly for all the nations. And I think it will be handled in a way that the country and the world will be helped by it.
Have you
any estimate of the amount of savings resulting from the readjustment?
No, I have not, because I don't know just how much of a readjustment has taken place at the present time.
Mr. President, under the law, can lend-lease equipment be sent to Russia or to any country when it's not engaged in a war against Japan?
Yes, it can, when it's been allocated to Russia by protocol and treaty, we have to carry out our commitments.
Now, Mr. President, now that the war in Europe is over, has any arrangements been made for early release of the Italian army systems?
I know nothing about it.
Mr. President, have you informed us at all on the status of German war prisoners as to when they will cease being prisoners?
No, I can't. We can't do anything about that until we have an established government in Germany.
Well, that might be for a generation.
Well, that's your guess, as good as mine.
Mr. President, a couple of weeks ago, you told us you knew Hitler was dead. But you wouldn't give us very much detail about it. Can you give us any now?
Yes, I think I can tell you why I thought Hitler was dead. Himmler had told our minister in Sweden through the, I think, Prince Bernadotte of Sweden, that Hitler had had a stroke and that he wouldn't have but 24 hours to live. And I understood that whenever Himmler said anybody has just 24 hours to live, that's about how much. That's what I based my statement on. I don't know a thing about his death, and more than you do, only what I've seen in the papers.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.